SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday and a very happy Hanukkah, race fans. I didn't get a chance to wish you a happy Hanukkah live last night for the first candle, but I tried to make up for it online. I sent out widespread Hanukkah greetings as well as the Latke of love. the miracle latke. if you haven't seen it, there's one latke that came out literally heart shaped. So it was like a talisman, a potato pancake from the gods. Always fun. Eight crazy nights, as Adam Sandler managed to create a whole alternative holiday motif for Hanukkah. And of course, Hanukkah's it's a moving target. It's one of the vagaries of the Jewish year calendar. It could turn up anywhere. It's the mystery holiday. There's lots of mysteries involved if you don't know the Hanukkah backstory. It's a good one. It's a good one. The Maccabees and the everlasting lamp and the oil that burned for 8 days. It's amazing. It's worth converting for, actually. I'm telling you. And believe me, there's probably, knock on wood, there's quite a few people that might be interested in making the great migration in the chosen direction. Please. Well, what did we miss? Let's get to that first of all, and hope you enjoyed that. It's so funny. Casey and I were talking on Wednesday night and into Thursday morning, what to play for yesterday, because he was away. He had his doctor arrangement, and we couldn't get Deja and Mark on short notice. So I said, it's perfect because I'm going, down to Aqueduct. Talk about that in a second. Had a really fun trip. And look, what a day yesterday at Aqueduct. It was like 55 degrees. It was like an early fall spring day at the Big A. And especially when you're in that paddock, it's a sunken, it's a kind of like a fishbowl sunken scenario, and so you're shielded from the wind in there, and just beautiful. We had fun, and the 2-year-old, knock on wood, got around and got a good experience, and look forward to bringing him back in January. But we were talking about, what are we going to play for the best of? And it just so happened on the Facebook memory feed, it showed that exactly a year ago yesterday, we were at symposium, and Hammer sat in, a few of those days and co-hosted. And there was a very nice day of discussion that morning. So, and it was exactly 1 year ago. I said, let's play, last year. And it's funny, I was in the car driving down to Aqueduct, and Hammer sent me a text. He's, what's wrong? Am I on today? What? I got a notice on, I said, no. I said, it's from last year. So anyway, hope you enjoyed that. And, we come back for the weekend preview. It's kind of a mixed bag. The international scene, of course, tomorrow night, that around midnight, the Hong Kong International races, the four standards that we'll look forward to discussing, Dick Powell, around the top of next hour, but the Vaz and the Sprint, the Mile and the Cup, and really a very good card surrounding it. There's two races after the Cup, and there's three races before the Vaz, and there's actually one stake. They do like a reset. They run two of the HKIRs, then they run another stake, in fact, the Highland Reel, and then they come back and run the other two, the Mile and the Cup. And the thing is just dotted with international stars, including, you know, Order of Australia and the other Coolmore runners, Magical in the Cup and Mogul. You got the locals that, you know, are imposing, and you know, that Golden 60, who's, you know, certainly the horse of the season so far at Hong Kong. Hot King Prawn runs in the Sprint. That horse that I've kind of taken a shine to, this Classique Legend, you know, coming out of the Everest win and on this international gallivant. I think he goes from this to, you know, to Dubai, and he's got a big itinerary. Bon Ho, his owner, and Windbright in the Cup, and there's a lot going on. So, Dick, I was going to hopefully get Marcus, but Marcus is actually on vacation. So no Marcus Hirsch, unfortunately, but we'll get Dick. And we also have to recap from Wednesday, as we were on the air doing the show, you know, we kind of were keeping one eye on that jockey competition, the international jockey competition. And it certainly was historic because Holly Doyle won a race, and the first female rider to score in the jockey competition. But it was interesting, and Zach Purton and Joe Marrero came down to the last race, and I was sort of, you know, watching with one eye, but I really didn't see the details until after the show. So we'll get some recap from Dick, but mostly we'll handicap the sequence, and they run essentially, call it, I mean, if you want to dive in for the whole card, it's basically Eastern time, midnight to about 5 a.m., if you just want to, you know, wake up for the big races, it's about 1 to 4, essentially. You got to invest about 2 hours and 45 minutes. All right. So Dick, in a little bit to dive in. And the section at DRF, you know, for those that have, you know, those of you that are already gotten hip to the action at Hong Kong, if you aren't, the international section overall is terrific at DRF, but the Hong Kong section in particular, with links to the free PPs, to analysis, to, you know, the stuff, you know, Marcus and Steve Anderson, you know, chip in, you know, not only do they get assigned the international stuff, but I think either of them are liable to write stuff up without any without compensation. I mean, they're both signed on to it, you know, particularly Steve. I mean, Anderson, you know, just I don't know if Steve Anderson actually sleeps. He's amazing. So HK, looking forward to that with Dick. The other action around the country, the Gulfstream, obviously, the Gulfstream Stakes sequence and card in general, the first big Saturday, and, you know, there's about five or six of them between now and April. So the first one rolls around tomorrow with the Rampart and the Fort Lauderdale, the Harlan's Holiday, the Sugar Swirl. There's also a pair of maiden specials of interest, Mile for Boys, also a short, both short and long on the main track, for the boys tomorrow. There's a 2-year-old filly, Turf Allowance, that looks interesting, going as the third. And, really a very nice, you know, the kind of card, you look forward to, at Gulfstream on Saturdays. The rest of the country, how about Fairgrounds? Don't want to let them slip through. And they've got the Louisiana card, the Louisiana Champions card. Is it the Champions? I think it's the Champions. All lob red action, start to finish, including some quarter horses. They got three quarter horse, Louisiana bred quarter horse stakes that start the card, three of them for $100,000. And then things spill into, let's see, from the four, I think 13, is it 13 races? Yeah. They've got the 4th to the 13th stakes, and there's a maiden special, Louisiana bred. There's Louisiana bred allowance tucked in here as well. And I got to check the weather forecast for New Orleans to see if they're going to be okay. I mean, they've had a rough start. There's a couple of sire stakes. It's funny. We talked on Wednesday with Naja Thompson getting started with the New York Thoroughbred Breeders as the executive director, and talked about what sire stakes are and what they mean. And there's a pair at Tampa tomorrow as well, going as the third and as the seventh. You got the city of Ocala with the fillies and mares, and then you got the Marion County for the boys. So 2 7/8 and nice. Seven in the boys race, and I think they got nine in the girls. And actually, I tell you, in terms of field size, nobody can complain. They're absolutely, you look, I actually looked almost at everything, and everywhere you look, where I know Scully's going to take a peek at a couple of races at Turfway, and I got to give you the Turfway Wednesday night. That was fun. The pick five carryover. But Turfway has got absolute full fields in virtually every race. Full or close to full. Race after race. Yesterday, again, 2.3 million. On Wednesday, they did 2.6, I think. There was a stunning number, almost 600,000 was bet into that pick five carryover on Wednesday night. I mean, I thought 400, you know, was going to be about, you know, that was a reasonable expectation. 597,000, I believe, was the final number. Crazy. And the sequence here, I'll give that a quick, we'll do that quickly. And hopefully some of you got some of this. It ended up paying $3,057. And it was exactly, really, in a lot of ways, it was exactly what Ed and I kind of thought. You had to cover the obvious, and you had to be prepared for, you know, a surprise somewhere. And you also had the opportunity to lean on a couple of different horses that went favored. And for starters, right off the bat in that first leg, the maiden claimer, that threat level midnight for Jonathan Thomas ran very well and got claimed too by Ethan West. Trounced the field at just under 3-1, paid 760. And certainly that was a horse on everybody's ticket. The horse that ended up being a reliable single, the humongous one, who, I mean, obviously the big beast passing along height and heft, the humongous one, who's out of a Quiet American mare, running for a nickel. This horse looked like a stake horse in this win. Jermaine Bridgemahan aboard for Jerry Brooks, and I mentioned it wasn't going to take Jerry Brooks long to, you know, after a bunch of board hits the first week, it wasn't going to take him long to start to rack up some wins. The humongous one did not get out of the gate well. He kind of, you know, he's a big, hefty horse, obviously, and broke kind of awkwardly. And give Jermaine Bridgemahan credit. He did not rush him in. He let him settle, And then he's, I mean, standing up in the irons. It was unbelievable going into the turn. At no point until he shook them up when they straightened for home. And he just won as easy as could be at 3-2. And I mean, he made 3-2 look like a gift. I mean, that was something. And Wild Weekend, yeah, those were the two to me that, you know, the Wild Weekend was the other option. He was second, but no match. Then came a tough horse, and I went back afterward, and I know it tripped Ed up too. The Zach Short winner of that third leg, Clear for Action at 8-1. Boy, I went back. I couldn't get to this horse. Could not get to this horse at all. I needed, there were a couple of other horses that I was interested in that, you know, nobody that I used was competitive in here. Karat didn't run, Save the Drama, who took no money and then, you know, didn't lift a hoof. So anyway, that was, for me, that was the end of the pick five option. Crockett's Bluff wins the third leg as second choice, took money. To me, this was like a seahorse, and I, you know, it didn't matter. I was out anyway, but 10:40, and that left some very nice will pays for this good maiden special weight, and this ended up being a bit of a great ending because I keyed off of a Merry Prankster who ran very well at 11-2, but Kaylee's Sister for some reason completely got ignored. Brad Cox Furster by McLean's Music gets ignored, I don't know, but went off at almost 10-1, pays 21.20. And the good, I mean, for those that played with me, my three A's were Kaylee's Sister, a Merry Prankster, and Pledge. That's a $400 triple. It made the whole exercise worthwhile. So I hope you did well. And I rode on Derby Trail. I think you have no choice, but you got to look at these Turfway cards every night, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I think if you latch on, you're gonna have some fun. I mean, that the Tapita, and these horses are gonna. You know, you're going to see them regularly. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to like about this. So a couple of thoughts about Wednesday night. Hope you did well. And I certainly hope some people caught the $3,000 pick five. No stake at Tampa, Tampa at Turfway. But as I said, you got big full fields. You got allowances, maiden special. Quality slate. Back to the trip to Aqueduct, and we're going to talk to Rudy Rodriguez Jr., Rudy's son, who is doing some jock agent work, but came to our attention the other day when he spread the word that Victor Flores, a exercise rider who's down at Fairgrounds, was in a horrific accident. And I wanted to get an update. I promised that a couple of people, you know, inquired. And yesterday you probably saw that I circulated the link to the GoFundMe, and in 24 hours, they've raised $15,000 to help Victor. But head trauma, and we'll find out. We're going to get Rudy Jr. on now. All right. So Case will raise him. Let me, while we do that and get an update on Victor's condition, give you the rest of the lineup. James Scully to follow I told you Dick is coming. We'll check in with Hammer. Vic Stauffer is going to join us. And, of course, Vic getting ready for the Oaklawn season and is building a house, I saw. I saw he put up a picture the other day, and he and his wife also works at the track, and Victor is visiting because of Therograph. Not that it's not fun to talk to Vic anyway, but Vic is working with Jerry Brown and Jeff Franklin at Therograph with a yet another new bonus. You know, we've talked pretty regularly to Jeff and to Jerry with the Therograph Player Services, and now Jeff has crafted like a bonus program, and as part of it, Vic is doing Therograph seminars like the ones we had, you know, for years at the barbecue at Saratoga, and that became a Saturday and Sunday morning staple to start the day. And Vic is doing them by video. So it's an opportunity for Therograph users and Therograph Player Service users, yet another bonus. And Vic handicaps races using Therograph and then also explains, you know, much like Jerry and Alan, and Bill would do, in our seminars at Saratoga, it's the same kind of thing. It kind of help you and to help you understand, you know, horses' patterns and, you know, how to interpret them. In addition, of course, Nick will do some New York. You got the Alex Robb tomorrow in New York. We'll talk to Nick Tamaro, and we'll round out the morning with Mike Welsh back at Gulfstream. I think Marty, I saw where Marty did the analysis for tomorrow, and did he say he was going down? I think he's going down after Christmas. I got to check with Marty. Anyway, I mentioned the situation with Victor Flores, and Rudy Rodriguez Jr. joins us with an update. Rudy, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Boy, this was, I could just tell by the way you described things and then also the reaction from a wide range of community, how well liked Victor is. Let everybody know what transpired and how he's doing.
Well, thankfully, I was updated by Liz Morris, who is Gabe Sayas' agent. She's the one who's been looking over him in Louisiana and helping him out. And just when I heard the news, it was just detrimental. I couldn't believe it. Such a great person, you know, would be put through this. But, you know, it's the racetrack, and unfortunately, bad things do happen. You never know when.
This was what you had a horse kind of prop and go the wrong way, huh?
Well, I heard that it was during a workout. He was just finishing up the breeze, and on the gallop out, the horse, maybe something spooked him, and he kind of just bolted to the outside. And when that happens, it's tough to control. And he, unfortunately, there happened to be a horse in his path, and they collided. And I don't know if it was from the collision that it occurred where he hit his head, or it was after when he had taken the fall and another horse maybe clipped him in the head. But that to me is unclear at the moment. But it was just a very, very frightening thing and sad to hear. But I'm amazed at how many people we were able to bring together and to help him.
What has Liz, and I'm glad you connected the dots with Liz too, to gain updates. I will send the link again to the GoFundMe. Do we know, I mean, in terms of consciousness and so forth, I mean, what can you tell us, you know, about his condition itself?
Well, I heard that he was always conscious. He was always in a conscious state, which is a good thing. But when he arrived at the hospital, I heard that there was severe bleeding and swelling in the brain area. But They did update me last night around 7 p.m. that he was resting all day, and he's feeling better, and he's responding well to the doctors. So they're very positive for the long term. But as of right now, he will remain hospitalized for some time. It's just going to take a lot of patience, but they are very optimistic, which is a good sign.
This seems like there's one of these some incident like this every few months. We have to, sweat out, someone's well-being and hope that, I just the other day, you've got to know, Rosario Montanez, and he's doing much better, and he updated people on his situation every couple of months as well. I mean, it's just it's unnerving every time this happens, and whether it's a part-time rider and a full-time exercise rider, doesn't matter. Really, anybody that is working in and with and around the horses.
Yes, I agree. And Rosario was actually the one who reached out to me later that day. I was getting a lot of phone calls from people about Victor, and he was the one who kind of really urged me to make the GoFundMe. I wasn't really too sure how it worked or anything, but he was telling me how to go through it step by step. And when he was in the same state that Brittany Russell, a trainer out in Maryland, the Maryland circuit,
sure,
she had set it up for him, and he was amazed that when he came out, he had a 40,000, which is, for medical expenses and so forth. It's an incredible help. So I took his word, and it's the least that I can do for Victor, who's such a great guy, and working for him was a pleasure. Never complained, always tried his hardest. It's the least I can do for someone who was willing to risk his life in a race for me.
Well, and he's got the bug, right?
Yes, he still has the bug. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he rode a Monmouth mostly this summer.
Yes. Yes. I did help him out at Monmouth. Mm-hmm. And he had a few wins, which was nice, trying to get him rolling a little bit, but, it's tough. It's tough because with the apprentice, he's a 35-year-old, because he's a full veterinarian. He studied all 7 years in a university in Mexico, and he did 1 year of a practice study as well. So it's amazing when he was telling me his story of what he's been through and what he's done. And he just, you never know what people go through. But yeah, he's a full MVZ as well.
How about that? Well, gosh, I'm hoping for the best here, and we'll keep people advised. And Rudy, since we're together, talk about your jocks and your jock agent efforts.
Well, I have Romero Mara. I've had him all year, and I have a new rider, Angel Rodriguez, as well. And I have to say, so far, so good. It's tough in this business. You have to have very thick skin, like they say. But, these are two developing young riders, and I think they have so much potential. Romero, I mean, I've had an incredible run with him. It was just very unfortunate due to the COVID circumstance that last year I brought him in, and in about 10 days, we won about 14 races, which was incredible. I remember the day, March 15th, He was going to ride. That's the day they canceled racing. He was named on 6 favorites, and they canceled. So that was detrimental to his career, as well as the spill that he had taken the previous year. But he's really come along, and he's not afraid. He's putting horses in the right positions all the time. I think he has a really big future, whether it's with or without me. I think he's going to make it. And
well,
Angel is a lot of talent. It's just that he doesn't really have a name here in New York. I brought him here. He was riding previously at Gulfstream in Indiana, and they recommended me highly of him. And you could just tell he's got great qualities. It's just that it's just tough. It's very tough when people don't know you or recognize you. It's tough to even get a shot sometimes.
Well, no doubt. You got to work, you work the backstretch and you work some horses in the morning. And, you know, of course, another few days seemingly, the biggest names in New York, will be out of town. Kendrick and Jose Lascano, will kind of rule the roost on the front end of the room, but there'll be chances for him. He's Panamanian, Rodriguez.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Nice. Now, you should go to Rudy Sr.'s barn and see if you can get a couple of calls.
I try. That guy, he's a tough cookie to crack. And I love how you bring that up, because a lot of people think, oh, you should just go to your dad. But he makes me work for it, which is good. I was voted the right way, and I worked hard all my life since I was off the record. Even 11 years old, I was heading to the track, hot walking horses. Then later on, 16, started galloping when I was able to get my Excess Riders badge. I worked. I really did. And I'm happy that he showed me how to do that.
Well, and, everybody watched you grow up in New York, and, to see you have the success you're having and doing, this kind of work and looking out, for others, really, everybody appreciates it. And Rudy, I'll direct everybody. It's an amazing outpouring. I mean, less than 24 hours, 15,000 was raised. Already, and you can see the names, familiar players and people from the racetrack community and then, just casual fans and people that are just generous and kind to help out Victor Flores. And we'll update everybody further next week as well. You can follow Rudy Rodriguez 32. Victor is Victor_Flores. As well, Victor J. Flores, actually, Victor_J. Flores, Flores with the S. And you can send them well wishes on Twitter. And we're hoping for the best. Rudy, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on. And again, I appreciate everybody who's taking the time to read this story and donate. This is for a very good cause. And I just we're all hoping for the best.
Rudy Rodriguez Jr., Rudy handling Romero Marat and Angel Rodriguez. So those of you that want to get a couple of young hustling jocks aboard, give Rudy a chance with his kids. Let's do this. We'll take a break here, and when we come back, James Scully is going to join us, and we'll get some opinions, get started on that front. Later, Dick Powell, Hong Kong Jockey Club, the HKIR. For international standards, Saturday night into Sunday morning. Vic Stauffer is going to visit. Hammer, Nick Tamaro, and Mike Welch. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
The exciting Southern California Thoroughbred Daytime Racing Circuit continues with the LA County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos Racecourse. The meet is off to a great start with strong fields throughout, and the stakes action continues at the Orange County Track, headed by the Los Alamitos Futurity on Saturday, December 19th. The Futurity has seen some tremendous winners in years past, like Standouts McKenzie in 2017, Improbable in 2018, and Thousand Words in 2019. Watch and wager on all the great racing action on TVG, plus all other major ADW providers, and it opens open satellite locations. On weekdays, our first post will be 1 p.m., while weekends will feature a 12:30 p.m. first post time. Plus, our wagering menu includes a pair of $1 pick fours, a traditional $2 pick six, and the popular 14% players pick five. And as we continue to follow our local guidelines, we'd like to thank all the great racing fans across the nation for their continued support of Los Alamitos Racecourse. Watch and wager on exciting Southern California thoroughbred racing. The L.A. County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos continues through Sunday, December 20th. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Have a sunny Christmas. Gather everyone you know. Have a sunny Christmas. Take it everywhere you go.
Back at the races. This is actually Renee and Jeremy. I don't even know how I found this. I think last year or the year before, but I think they do children's stuff. But this was this. I thought this was really catchy, and so we added it to our Christmas rotation. We're well underway on our ATR Christmas music. And next week, when next Wednesday, we'll get Pete in here, and he and I'll do our annual additions to the Christmas lineup. And James Scully and his wife Gigi probably in the midst of decorating the house and that kind of thing. James, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, we got a tree last Sunday and put it up and decorating it and getting the whole house ready. But, last year we had my family over for Thanksgiving and Christmas, so this year it's just Gigi and I for the holidays. My mom always makes a Creole on Christmas Eve, so she's going to make a shrimp Creole, and she's going to make us a big portion of that. I'm going to go over and pick it up, and we'll eat it on Thursday night. But
nice.
Yeah, yeah. a little bit different, obviously, but we're getting in the spirit.
You know, it's funny. I do a nice shrimp Creole, and Tina, whenever Tina requests it, she said, "Will you make me your jambalaya?" And I mean, we're together 11 years. You would think every time, and then every time I say to her, it's shrimp Creole, hon. But she still still calls for it as jambalaya. And so, you know, and then we'll go to, when we were in New Orleans, and she's ordering jambalaya, and I had to, like, Tina, do you want jambalaya, or are you expecting shrimp Creole? And she goes, oh, no, you're I want the shrimp. Yeah, okay, honey, I got it. give her shrimp Creole, please. it's one of those, you know, one of those cutish things she does. It always makes me laugh. How'd you do last weekend?
I did okay. I really only tatted a few horses on here, and one of them was Hurricane Highway, who really impressive move. He was 6-1 going into the gate, and during the race he was 9-2, but he made just a phenomenal move on the turn just to blow him away. You know, he liked synthetic tracks. I thought he was coming back into form, and trained by Indiana Grand Shipper. Saw a couple of Indiana, we talked about that last week. Yeah. A couple of Indiana Grand Shippers won yesterday even, and I've got a Cipriano Contreras horse I like today as well.
What do you think of some of the, you know, some of the performances? You know, certainly, where are you on the Kentucky Derby reporting front, by the way?
I've just been, like, basically, like, giving my thoughts on the races so far. So I came in after the Kentucky Jockey Club and wrote a little piece on – I mixed in some Kentucky, you know, the future wager pool one and my thoughts on Keep Me in Mind. And then I wrote a little piece on Brooklyn Strong this week for Brisnet, just talking about, like, you know, the – what about how the history of the Remsen's been so terrible of late, and, you know, he's a gelding and a New York bred and, you know, doesn't have high profile connections, Danny Blasquez. But, you know, all that stuff to me doesn't matter. I don't think the Remsen's a negative race. I think races after the Breeders' Cup Juvenile are just going to be inclined to have a difficult time sometimes drawing, like, the top two-year-olds, you know, whether it's the Kentucky Jockey Club, the Remsen, you know, even Los Alamitos for Charity. How many Derby winners has that race produced in recent years? So, you know, those races are sort of like up against it, but it doesn't mean that a horse could win that race or come out of that race and win the Derby. So I'm just looking at the qualifications of Brooklyn Strong, and I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, obviously it was a sloppy track, but that was a big effort to run down loose on the lead 10 for 10. And he's 3 for 4, and his only loss came, you know, sprinting or at 7 furlongs. He's 3 for 3 at a mile or longer. So a good looking gelding by Wicked Strong.
Agreed, you know,
and the race came back fast. 10 for 10. It was
yeah,
so much
that's
faster
the point.
Than the Demoiselle. Yeah.
That's the part of it. You know, 10 for 10 ran fine. I know, you know, some people were like, "Oh, 10 for 10 look disappointing." Didn't disappoint. The two of them ran. You know, they both really ran.
Yeah, it was a huge gap back to third. It was, yeah, they both really ran. I mean, Brooklyn Strong's just coming on. You know, he's going to have to continue to improve, and, you know, you don't want to get too carried away about, you know, these performances, like I said, but, you know, he's got something going for him for sure. And, you know, they were lucky the connections were they ran him for a maiden $40,000 out first time, and he didn't get claimed. So a little bit similar to, you know, other horses we've seen in recent years, like Maximum Security and others, that connections got away running for a tag, and now they're stakes horses.
Well, we'll start to get serious too by the time we turn the corner and get to January 1 and start to run. While I was at Aqueduct yesterday, saw Anthony Stabile and Anthony was asking, you know, was with Lee Einsiedler, and we were saying, what, you know, what's the schedule for calls? And he's going to call, he's got a vacation period. Johnny I is going to be out. And we were talking about the 3-year-old. I said, there's got to be a good stake while you're calling. And he said, yeah, the Jerome. So, you know, we're here. It's just so funny, you know, like we've been saying, with the Derby feeling like it was, you know, so recent, it just feels so odd to be gearing up, you know, for the trail that we normally gear up for. It's going to be pretty funny, I suppose, once we get past the first of the year and Oaklawn, and we start to get the regular routine, and we get these, you know, early season preps in the Sham and so forth. You know, once that gets started, I guess it'll feel more normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I look at, you know, once we start getting some of these flashy maiden winners coming along at Gulfstream, and then when Santa Anita starts up the day after Christmas, they have a good maiden race, I thought, you know, for two-year-olds on Saturday, Gulfstream, race number 7. I look at that field. There's a couple in there that I definitely, namely American Law, this Constitution $250,000 Son of Him that's debuting. His dam was solid, has like 3 winners, I think, from 4 starters. But his second dam is Full Flight, who, you know, heck, she was foaled like way back in like 1985, but she's the dam of Trip and Joke and Pink Shoes and all these stake winners in that immediate female family for American Law. So they paid 250 or 200 grand for him. Reeves Thurbred did, and that's a horse. You know, you get the Irad Ortiz, and he's one I'm intrigued to watch run tomorrow.
The Reeve operation actually, kind of firing on cylinders. Had those two winners last week in New York, and with Christophe. Actually, I think one for Christophe and one for Gargan, and Kathy Ritfo's got, I think, a pair that they've won with in recent, maybe at over a Calder before the season ended, and I did pull this out and was looking for some sibling strength in this group, the second and the seventh. The seventh going a mile, and the second goes three quarters. There's a Cash's King LC Fast Anacol, Semper Fidelis, which
the two in race two.
Yeah, the 2-1 favorite as well, and that's the Marine Corps. That's the Marine Corps motto, I believe.
Always right? Faithful.
There you go. Well done. So it is. Yeah, that is the nice. This is a Fast Anacol that Fred Seitz, Brookdale bred, and had a nice debut behind Warrior's Pride, who came right back. Keep an eye there. And there's nearly a $300,000 Spitzer colt, Bracken, on the rail for the Lowe's. Bob and Luana Lowe. This is a Windstar product that Todd Pletcher is handling. Clement with a Blum, $500,000 Blum bred quality road colt, Broadway, the seven as well. So there might be, they're starting out at three quarters, second time starter for Semper Fidelis, but it looks like there's some nice horses in here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, both that race and the seventh race both have I have a bunch of good looking, I have several good looking firsters in there and even a couple horses making like their second or third starts that have a chance. More than my favorite in the seventh race is that mid laner making a second start for Keneally.
On the rail, the flatter gelding. All right. Well, let's dive in. James, got about 10 minutes. Find some winners.
All right, well, I'll just start at Gulfstream. Got these five stakes. Four of them are graded. I'll work through a little bit on those. Race number four is the Rampart. That's a race where I'm just going to single Bajan Girl in all my bets. I mean, she's so sharp presently. I think she's going to control the action. I think she's going to be very difficult to beat. Didn't really have a – in the Sugar Swirl – I didn't really have the strongest opinion in that race. I did think that there's a lot of pace present in there, so I was a little intrigued by this number one Sound Machine in race six for Safi Joseph. I think, should he's adding blinkers, but still I expect her to be sitting just behind the speed in a good position of pounce with Jose Ortiz. Looks like she's got a good chance in that Sugar Swirl. In race seven, I already mentioned one horse I'll be watching. If I'm playing multis, I'm going to use that number four, American Law, that Constitution Colt. I think he could, he's training well with some bullet works, looks well met. In the My Charmer, that race really is a, Chad Brown has a formidable favorite in there and Lady Lawyer. I did think that number two, Art of Almost, was a little interesting. Woodbine Chipper for Roger Atfield. But not a very strong field in that My Charmer. And that brings us to the last two graded stakes at Gulfstream, Steve. The race number nine is a Harlan's Holiday. I don't think that it's the strongest field for the level in there either. I did think that, Tax is a threat to just win, coming back, he's going to be stalking it, won't be too far back with Luis Saez, and, he appears to be training well. But, I mean, the horse of interest to me is on the far outside. It's that Top Weeds for Pletcher, a $2.5 million yearly. Never been two turns yet. but has won three straight and is making his stakes debut and just has a chance to lead all the way, I thought, in there. Could be controlling speed. I also take a little bit of a look at Eye of a Jedi because he's in good form coming in off back-to-back wins. I just don't know if he'll be good enough to beat Tax or, you know, Totwees if he runs a big race on the lead. And then the final, the feature of the day, 200 grand, Fort Lauderdale, mile and an eighth on turf. I thought this was a really interesting race, Steve, because we basically have Halliday, who's just in just career best form. And, you know, he got beat to the lead in the Bernard Baruch three starts back by some like it Hot Brown and wound up running fourth in there. But he came back and just smoked him in the four-star Dave handicap. I thought Factor This was really, you know, bent on getting the lead in the Breeders' Cup mile, and Halliday was just too sharp. Really ran big race to be leading an upper stretch and, you know, gets beat 2.5 lengths at six. But the thing is, this race, the Fort Lauderdale, is a mile and an eighth. Halliday's never run at a mile and an eighth. I think it's stretching his stamina. You know, he missed the prep. He was supposed to run in the Shadwell Turf mile, had some kind of minor issue, and then came back and ran in that Breeders' Cup mile. I think he's vulnerable in this spot. I don't think a mile and an eighth is the best distance from someone like at Hot Brown, who's eligible just to send hard from the inside. I thought that Factor This can handle the distance, but once again, he's a front runner. You have a race in here where the three betting favorites are all front runners. I'm throwing them all out. I like number eight, Spooky Channel. I thought that he really, you know, he likes Gulfstream turf. He won a grade three stake at January at a mile and a half. He went off form a little bit after that. I liked how Lynch cut him back to a mile and a 16th, two starts back. He won that race. Then he got beat on his last race was in July. He got beat 2.5 lengths in that Manhattan. I look for him. He's going to get a prime setup. He's won at a mile and eighth before. I look for him to be finishing fastest of all. And as far as, like, multi-race bets, I'll also throw in number five, Channel Cat, who's got some back class and has sort of the right run style. And even number two, Delaware, who's taken blinkers off and, you know, could step up, I think, stretching out to a mile and an eighth with this run style for Chad Brown.
He should get a terrific trip. And second off the layoff, Delaware, and there's a lot to like. And I tell you, 5-1,
there's... Yeah, he might be one of the top three betting choices. I might be wrong about that.
Well, no, some like it Hot Brown and Halliday are going to take money. Factor This is going to take money. He could very well be, you know, 9-2, 5-1. That will not surprise me. And I'll tell you, the other horse that has got to be mentioned in here is Shug with Breaking the Rules, who's run well down in Florida. And, you know, again, should be well positioned. There is a ton of speed in here. I mean, we talked about three of them. We didn't even mention Largent and Tide of the Sea.
Tide of the Sea is just going to, he's a one dimensional front runner.
There's too much speed in here for this not to, if not collapse, at least open the door for the stalker closers.
Right, absolutely. We're on the same page completely in there. I will turn to Turfway Park. I looked at Saturday's card. Like, you know, one thing about Turfway, there have been a lot of favorites winning there. So, you know, you need to pick your spot if you're trying to beat, you know, a player who likes to beat the chalk. I'll give my thoughts on three races. Every race card there at Turfway is eight races. On Saturday, race number five is a maiden special weight race. That race has some tough-looking contenders, and number two, Thrill Rod, number six, Norn, and number 10, Sag Harbor. But I am intrigued in here, Steve, by number eight, Another Hero, first-time starter for Gary Mary West, trained by Brett Calhoun. He has a 5-furlong bullet work from the gate at Churchill, another sharp 6-furlong work. This Union Rags, $250,000 Union Rags colt, they were going to run him on turf in the final 2 weeks of the Churchill meet, and they canceled turf racing for the last 2 weeks. So he has put a couple maintenance moves in him, and they're going to run him on the synthetic here. And I do think he has a chance to run well. His dam is a half sister to a grade one winner, Quest. She was a all turf, a stakes place, a turf mare, Cat Lore. And like I said, those works sort of intrigue me a little bit. He's got some fast works in there. And I think he could be interesting at first asking another hero in race five.
Nice.
And then go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all. I was going to just say it's another nice, let's say again, another nice card of full field races again at Turfway Saturday.
And yeah, race six, number six, Glenwood. I like him a little bit. And then in race number seven, I like number one, Luna Fortis. I think the 10 horse is going to take No More Temper. It's going to take a lot of money on the outside. This is this Contreras horse I mentioned earlier. He won at last year. He came to Turfway I just expect him to get a good trip in good form. That was a good second at Keeneland two back, a good win last time on an off track at Indiana Grand, and he's won on synthetics before, Luna Fortis in race seven. And I got one last second play for you. It's tonight, race number seven, number eight, Blanket of Roses. I like him, let me make sure I got that number right, Steve. He's number eight, race seven, Blanket of Roses, with second in the Rushaway. He's going to run a big race on the stretch out to a mile and a quarter for Mike Maker tonight. He's 8-1 on the morning line.
Well, and that's something that Maker excels at. There you go. So the what race?
Number eight, race seven at Turfway tonight.
There we go. Seventh. So what time does that go off?
That goes off at 9:12.
Same as tomorrow. Very good. Yeah, they've been holding to their pretty much schedule is written in stone, it seems, at Turfway. James, this is terrific. Have a great weekend. Best of luck. And we will wrap up 2020 together next Friday.
Sounds good, Steve. Always enjoy it. Good luck to you this weekend.
Thanks, buddy. James underscore Scully, everybody, 111, and the Twin Spires blog roll team, and all the BrizNet info as well, all there. Let's take top of the hour.